Our next pericope is going to be in Luke chapter 6, 27 through 38 from the NRSV. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for February the 20th, which is the final Sunday of Epiphany. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for that again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. All right, Kenneth. Mm-hmm. Was God making a suggestion when he said, love your enemies? I mean, we have this thing that some have called the disappearing middle in America because we're choosing sides. It's the donkeys and the elephants, the red states, blue states, vaccinated, unvaccinated, rich, poor. And of course, the list just goes on and on to the glee of the evil one. So-called enemies are everywhere. So what's the way forward?
Yeah, polarization is, you know, I think the pandemic, the plague, you know, reveals, right? Plagues reveal the ways in which we brought judgment upon ourselves. The plagues have revealed that we're deeply divided. Whether it's, you know, plague, the pandemic of COVID or school shootings or whatever it is, we other each other. And I think the first place to start, if I start to sound like a broken record, it's intentional. The place we start with thinking about what it means to be human is with Jesus. And what it means to be God is Jesus. And this is someone who, from the cross, as he is actively being murdered, spat on, mocked, abused, who is forgiving those who are harming him and causing him pain. And you know, this is the one who tells us, you know, love your enemies. He does this. This is the very nature of what it means to be human. This is the image in which you were made, is to be a forgiver, to be the image in which the human is made is to love the enemy. And so surrender to, you know, this capacity in which we, you know, we were made in that image, is vital for every human being. And so, you know, this is the God who doesn't have enemies from his side of the equation. You know, From our side of the equation, you know, he does have enemies in us sometimes and in others. But, you know, from his side, you know, he sets a table in the presence of our enemies, and invites everyone, invites our enemy to that table. And we could go right. I mean, this is, we're talking about an infinite God. And so we could talk about this for a while, but I do think that that is the heart of it is, you know, we put these labels, we love labels. And God says instead by the Spirit in the church, there's neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, neither, neither Jew nor Greek, neither, vaccinated or unvaccinated, neither, Democrat or Republican, neither liberal or conservative, And so, it's just a different way of thinking and just a different way of embodying what it means to be human and a different disposition and heart. And I loved what you said. You didn't say the media is the one who's fomenting this. You didn't say political parties were the ones that were fomenting this division. You said the enemy of our soul, is the one who's delighted by these divisions. And so that's what's behind all of this. And he is the one who accuses. He is the one who divides.
Labels are lazy from my standpoint. And it starts with the second thing about a person, not the first thing, the second thing. Oh, they're rich, they're poor, they're Democrat, they're Republican, instead of they are a beloved child of God. And it's the way we see. And I love what you said, because what you're encouraging us to do is to be who we are truly in Him. You know, like Paul's telling us to be reconciled, because you are reconciled to God in Jesus Christ, right?
You're made in the image of humility. You are made in the image of forgiveness. What did it say? It said He's kind to the ungodly. We're made in the image of kindness.
Yes. Jesus tells us to give to those who beg, to lend without expectation of a return. But it seems to me, brother, that we're spending way too much time judging those we're seeking to give to or not seeking to give to. Why do we struggle so mightily not to judge people who are in need?
Yeah, this is a classical problem, Chrysostom, said the golden mouth preacher, your coffers, your bank, your treasure is in the bellies of the poor. If you really want to invest what you have, it belongs to them. And so I think, first of all, it's this idea that our possessing it is first. No, what we have belongs not just to God. It belongs to our neighbor. This goes mightily against our education and the grain of our culture. And our society is to think that what I have belongs to others. The private ownership, and whatever that means in law and philosophy and so forth and so on, in the gospel, those boundaries are erased. And so, it is about calling people into a voluntary participation. There's no point in coercing people or forcing people into participating in their own, in their created nature, in the Trinitarian life, in the abundance and generosity of God. And this is, you know, political systems and so forth that are based on, you know, coercing, sharing, are just as destructive to the human person as anything else. But a voluntary participation in the generosity of God. And you know, the practical question that you're asking is, you know, like, why do I see someone in need and just not want to just meet the need rather than wondering how they got there?
Yes.
You know, what was the thing that made this happen to them and so forth and so on, which according to the gospel is absolutely irrelevant.
Mm.
To, you know, you hear these things like, well, you shouldn't give, you know, something to someone who's going to waste the resource or whatever. Yes. That's none of our business.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just to meet the needs as they come into our purview and, as, you know, we have the resource and to share, and we're not to take inventory of the persons that we are helping, you know? Mm.
Well, it says, give and it will be given to you. And I know the Lord has given to you, Kenneth. And I, for a moment, just like to ask you to make it personal. How have you experienced the extravagant generosity of God in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I hope this doesn't sound too simple, but what I'm most grateful for is to the extent that it's been granted to me is to be astonished with the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
And to constantly be amazed by something I haven't seen before, like the foreign living creatures are, you know, I mean, always seeing something of God they haven't seen before and lavishing praise. That's how I feel a lot of the time. And so I delight in nothing more than sharing what I've seen. So, you know, of course you can't give what you haven't received, and you recognize that you're receiving it from somewhere outside yourself, and that you get to, you know, give that. The apostle says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have here. And so, you know, I don't want to be cliche, but the greatest thing that we can offer to another human being is our vision of Christ.
Amen.
So, you know, yes, which is not to say don't give somebody give them $5 or a shirt or whatever. I mean, Jesus is not, you know, he literally means give them the coat. So, you know, not to spiritualize it, but also with the coat, you know, I can share my astonishment with the person of Jesus. And I do it in a non-judgmental way. It has nothing to do without consideration of their position or my position, because no matter how poor someone is you encounter, there's an area where you're poorer, you know, and so forth and so on. So,
yeah, I appreciate what you said about, you know, not over spiritualizing it, because all we have to do is look at the true human Jesus and how frequently he met the felt need of people first. Like I just think of that leper that he touched, the dignity that must have been experienced in his bones to be touched before he was even healed, is remarkable. And it shows us the way.
Because recently, the Pope, I don't know if you saw the story, but Francis, you know, a leprous man, you know, was presented to him, and he just walked straight up to him and embraced him, you know, you know, with this, from what I understand, massive, you know, growth on his, you know, neck area. And, and he was bearing witness to the feeling of love and inclusion and grace and healing that occurred just because he didn't judge him, wasn't holding anything back from, you know, being connected to this man.
So. You will be my witnesses.
Yeah, amen.
That's what it looks like.